This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Rejecting tyranny and socialism isn't racism or hatred. It's your duty as an American, from New Hampshire to around the world. It's your host, Keith Hansen.
Welcome to Spouting Off. We have a special audience along. This is Karen Cataline. What a pleasure to have you along with us. This is, for those of you who are counting, for Spouting Off, show number 122. And we also have along the audience and the show of the Keith Hansen Show. And I just love filling in for Keith Hansen and a various number of nationally syndicated shows around the country. And today we're kind of combining both. So you're also listening to the Keith Hansen Show. Great to be with you. And this is indeed Friday, July 24th. And the Keith Hansen Show is powered by the Hagman Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. If you want to connect with Keith Hansen, who is such a great talk show host, those of you who listen to him know what a smart as a whip mind he has. And I just, the minute I was a guest on his show for the very first time, it's like we just clicked, we connected. And I said, this is a guy I want to know more about because he just never quits. He's got like 47 irons in the fire. So welcome to the Keith Hansen Show audience, powered by the Hagman Report and broadcasting on the Global Star Radio Network. If you'd like to connect with Keith, his address, email address is keithontheair@gmail.com. That's keithontheair@gmail.com. Maybe one day I'll have him fill in for me on Spouting Off, but you heard my opening. And my website, we'll get all these shameless plugs out of the way, is www.karencataline.com. And there you'll find more about me than you ever want to know. Cataline, Karen spelled the normal way. And yes, my name is a punchline now. It is a pejorative, and I'm just not going to go into that right now. But I usually have a good sense of humor, self-effacing, but, you know, to be called a white middle-aged woman who's constantly asking for the manager, you know what, that does fit me. So, but just think, if the name was Shaniqua, then suddenly it wouldn't be such a nice thing and it wouldn't be politically correct. So let's not play those games. Name bigotry and all other forms of, let's just not play those games. Anyway, Karen Cataline, it's Karen spelled the normal way. Yes, Karen. And I'm not going to dislike it. I mean, it's the name I was born with. Cataline, spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. So I have two fabulous guests in our program today. Not only do we have a veteran talk show host, Gary Jeff Walker, from the great and legendary WLW in Cincinnati. That's what my husband calls it, Cincinnati. I don't know if Gary Jeff calls it that, but he can get away with it. Then we have Dr. Gerard Lamero, prognosticator and optimist. Boy, couldn't we use a little optimism right now, because things are looking bleak and grim. I have some thoughts before we get started with our guests, as I always do, because, hey, this is the place to spout off. And if you'd like to call in this first 50 minutes, we do have a pretty guest-heavy show today, but if you'd like to call us at our talk line, it's 888-627-6008. If you're listening live, the podcasts will live forever. So my show, Spouting Off, airs live call-in talk Fridays, 2 p.m. Eastern and noon Mountain Time. So I was having a conversation, as I often do, with people who are saying, how do we fight back? How do we fight back? What are we going to do about all this marching communism, socialism, global one worldism under the false mask of, oh, we just want to help you. We just want to protect you. We care more about you than you do about your own family. We are so virtuous. Well, I call BS on all of it, and I have been doing so for a long time. Now, every movement has to have a focal point, in my opinion, something that symbolizes so much more. How do you explain to someone who just arrived on this planet from outer space how America is being attacked from within? How do you do that, right? I mean, you're going to go through all the decades and decades of history, not all of which I know, certainly, because I had a government education, and the government education that I had was infinitely better than what they're giving today, which is government indoctrination. But what do we do about trying to explain what really is happening here in shorthand? Because among the many indoctrinations has been that we're in this soundbite culture. You know, and I can just imagine when I think about our founders and the statesmen who'd give wonderful, knowledgeable speeches and esoteric intellectualizations about freedom and liberty. And I love that stuff. I love analyzing it and talking about it. But in today's world, frankly, in America, the general populace has been dumbed down. They have the attention span of a flea, and they switch back and forth and go back and forth like a pendulum. So what do we do about that? Well, I think we have to speak in their language, and so I have become pretty fond of memes. I like memes. Memes are neat. I've also heard that Facebook and Twitter and stuff doesn't really like them because they can't get their algorithms to pick them up and therefore censor them, which is kind of an extra added bonus, I would say. And so I've been creating some memes, and many of them, as well as the piece, by the way, that I just had published several days ago, the absolute biggest number of reactions on any piece that I have published, and that is in the Western Journal. It's called Complying with Tyranny on Masks Will Bring on More Tyranny, Not Less. It's in the Western Journal now. It has 56,000 reactions. I'm not even sure what a reaction is, but I'm thinking at least those people read it. At least I hope so. And I've been pounding away at this mask issue. And what I'm trying to get at here, and it's very, very important, in my opinion anyway, is that masks are the symbol, the focal point of an entire spring and summer of absolute tyranny and insurgence and attacking this country from within. Yes, it's an election year. Yes, it has a great deal to do with Trump, but the things that they are doing are a complete divorce from any constitutional authority that these people have. They've bestowed upon themselves, just like the Colorado governor Jared Polis has bestowed upon himself, special emergency powers that allow him, or so he thinks, to demand and dictate to all the people in Colorado whether they will have their businesses open, what they will wear when they go to a grocery store, when they can shop, how they can shop, which direction they walk. This is pure, unadulterated, old school old Soviet Union socialism, or maybe the Chinese, whatever, but this is not America, and we have not been experiencing America for a long time. And people are asking me a lot, so how do we fight back? Well, I think masks are the way to fight back. People keep saying, well, no, not masks. This has to be about everything. In my opinion, the masks symbolize all of it. Think about the masks of the unmasking of General Flynn, the masks of Antifa, criminals wearing masks, people wearing burqas, and people being forced, I tell you, to wear a mask when they leave their home. Masks are so symbolic because they create a barrier between citizen and citizen. You can't see someone's face. We all look alike almost in a mask. We're all conforming. We're all collectivist nobodies. I remember years ago, I put this story in my book, Fat Lash, Food Police and the Fear of Thin, another shameless plug. I was all about individualism when I was a kid because my mother put me on child beauty pageants and wanted me to sing and dance like a little, show pony. That's what I wrote the book about. And I remember going through a bike ride. It was one of my unusual physical times in which I was going on long bike rides. I went on this long bike ride through Amish country, and I picked up a doll, one of those beautiful dolls it was a sewn together doll, like a rag doll, with a bonnet on, and the doll had no face, and it terrified me that anybody would celebrate that a doll has no face. So I didn't get to everything I wanted to say. Maybe we'll take a little time at the end. Masks are the way to fight back because they're symbolic of so much more. And now we have government grocery stores. Government grocery stores. What's a government grocery store? A big box store that got special privileges during the lockdowns. All their competition got locked down, but stores like Walmart were allowed to remain open and people didn't know why. Now we know why. They're doing the bidding of the government. They're enforcing nationwide mask laws in all their stores, even if the state that the Walmart is in has not done so. So I encourage you not to shop at government grocery stores. Do not shop at government grocery stores. Okay. We'll talk more about this because I'm not done spouting off yet. But we have a wonderful guest, a longtime talk show host, Gary Jeff Walker from the legendary. This is a legend. People tell me this is a really important radio station called WLW. And that's a terrestrial radio station. But here we are on the Keith Hansen Show on Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. We're being heard everywhere. And then we'll be heard on the K-Star Radio Network after that. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Gary Jeff Walker with us to spout off some more. You're listening to Spouting Off and the Keith Hansen Show here on the BBS Radio Network. Thank you for doing that. Karen Cataline, stay tuned. Lots more to come.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. We're also simulcasting with the Keith Hansen Show. Keith Hansen can be heard on the Global Star Radio Network and powered by the Hagman Report. We got all kinds of collaborations going on. We also have, and I posted this, that Turnabout is Fair Play, because this wonderful talk show host, been in the business 22 years, a lot longer than I have, on the legendary WLW station in, as my husband calls it, Gary Jeff, Cincinnati, right? It's Cleveland or Cincinnati? It's Cincinnati, right? Welcome to Spouting Off, Gary Jeff Walker. Thanks for joining us.
Is this the Karen Cataline?
It is, and yes, my middle name does not start with a K, so you just stop that right there. All right.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, I'm glad it's not just another Karen, you know, just another white, privileged Jewish chick.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
Black Lives Matter told me about Karens, and I was very apprehensive the first time I talked to you. I said, oh, no, another Karen. But she's not just another Karen. She's a special Karen.
Yes, well, that's very kind
special
of you.
Special K, that's what I'll call you from now on, Special K.
Some people call me K squared, too.
Oh, I like that.
Tell everybody, Gary Jeff Walker, a little bit about you. How'd you get to be a talk radio host on WLW?
The reason I became a talk radio host was because I first heard Rush Limbaugh in the early 1990s, and I was in music radio already then, and I decided, you know what, that's what I want to do. And Rush was my inspiration to actually be in talk radio. I finally got my opportunity in 1997. With my program director in Cincinnati, I was working afternoons for the classic rock station there, and said, we've got this spot on Saturday morning. It doesn't do too well in the ratings. Would you like to try your hand at it? Because he knew I was excited about doing talk. It was seemed to me the wave of where my career was going if I was going to stay in radio, because I became very bored with babysitting music. So I got my opportunity in February of 1997 on 700 WLW on Saturday mornings. At the time, I think the show had about a 4 or 5 share, and I'm not bragging or anything, but...
Go ahead, brag.
It's been consistently number one since about 2000, so in February, I just suffered. The audience suffered, but I celebrated my 23rd year doing mornings on 700 WLW, which is a wonderful 50,000-watt terrestrial signal, and of course, available everywhere in iHeartRadio, but I do 5:30 to 9 a.m. Eastern, and there's nothing been more fulfilling in 40 years of radio than doing talk now for 23 plus on 700.
So I got a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about, and it's sad, but it's true, Gary Jeff Walker, and that is that you and I both love talk radio, because we get to spout off in my case, and we get to exercise our First Amendment rights of free expression, free speech. Mm-hmm. And here, there was recently a study saying that something like 60% of Americans are afraid to say what they think.
And what's among that total, about? Karen, and among that total in that poll, 77% of people who describe themselves as conservatives are afraid to say what they think because they're afraid of the cancel culture, they're afraid of the backlash. And I will tell you that there are polls everywhere. In fact, I can't imagine that the polls being more prolific than they are for a small Eastern European country. But there are polls everywhere. But this poll seems to be synonymous with what's going on in America right now today, sadly. And even among self-described liberals, not far leftists, like the AOC Bernie Sanders crowd, but even self-described liberals, that figure is up by 10 or 12 points. It's not to the level of conservatives. But even liberals, you know, like your garden variety, what we considered liberals before,
which have been stomped on
the woke culture. And, and what's odd about that is that the far left liberals, the Marxists, really the fascists, the real fascists, they're not afraid to say what they think, because and the irony in that is they're the ones stomping on other people's right to disagree with them or say something other than their talking point narratives.
Precisely. And they're acting that out, as we saw in Denver this past weekend when there was a rally to support our law enforcement, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter basically just shut it down and starting beating people up with cops.
Two terrorist organizations that are allowed to operate in America for some reason. I have no idea why.
And then cops were told to stand down. We know this for a fact. And they're basically siding with people who hate their guts against people who came to honor them. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. It's like a Tom Clancy novel. But here's what they've done. Let's go back to this study that you're talking about.
Right.
So they have bullied people into shutting up, shutting down, being quiet, staying in their home, all of that, by making an example of others and then putting it out on the propaganda media. This will happen to you if you open your mouth.
And so, and Karen, that is exactly why people who have differing views than the far left, than the Marxists, than the people that are trying to destroy this country, that's why it is more important than ever that we actually don't shut up, that we continue to sound off or spout off, as you would say, and continue to make our points known, because we do have an opinion and it's just as valuable than theirs. And they can't shut us up if we stand together in mass and speak out what we believe. And it's not about right or left or Republican or Democrat. It's about being an American and exercising your First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
No, please.
No, you go ahead. You're the guest. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I there was something, and we'll do it at the end of the interview, I wanted to say. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
What? Well, I wanted to drill down even further, because I do believe, I don't have a tinfoil hat, but I do believe that all of this that we're watching since about St. Paddy's Day 2020 has been an orchestrated attack on this country on numerous, numerous fronts. And so they already had the propaganda media in their back pocket that will not report anything they don't want people to know. They already had, you know, a variety of things, media, the education. All of these things have been worked on for decades, and it looks like we're watching the culmination of all of it. So when you say you got to speak out, and you've got a media like we've got, and then you've got, you know, internet talk radio like I've got, which, let me tell you, ain't Rush Limbaugh, how do you keep people, your audience, uplifted and encouraged to speak out, and where and how do they do that?
And that's exactly what I'm telling you. We've got to encourage people to freely speak their minds and to be brave. This is not the time to cower in a corner and be afraid. This is the new revolution in America. It's like the Cultural Revolution in China under Mao, and those people got beaten to death, not only physically, but verbally and culturally, as they are doing or trying to do right now in America. And what happened was the Chinese, a different culture than ours, always, even before communist China took hold, were more compliant. Silence is compliance. They say silence is violence if you're a white person and you don't represent or come out in favor of organizations like Black Lives Matter. We all agree that Black Lives Matter. I say every human life is precious, and I will continue to say that on the radio. I'm not afraid. And as long as my employer decides that, as long as I bring facts to the table and not conspiracy theories and I'm not preaching hate, I can say every human life is precious.
The very idea, Gary Jeff Walker, that saying all lives matter is now a racist statement shows you.
I didn't say all lives matter. I said every human life is precious. I'm not trying to co-opt their or turn around their
representative speech. But I'm saying that's how bullied we've been, is that they get mad at you, and I don't care if they get mad at you when you say all lives matter, which means you're not allowed to say that. Exactly.
I don't care if they get mad at
that's
me either.
That's the point.
And I'm not your traditional conservative. In fact, this afternoon, before we're done, Karen, how much time do we have left?
We have about 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll again save this and continue with our thought, our train of mind here.
Yes.
You have to, as a regular American, even if you're not a talk radio host, if you're a business owner, if you're, and I'm seeing people do it more and more, while the polls come out and say 77% of conservatives are afraid to speak their mind because they're afraid of the backlash, there is a growing trend in this country, and we must, those of us who have a platform, must continue to encourage them, not incite them, but encouraging them to speak their mind against the tide. We have to continue to exhort people to be brave and to remember what the founders of this country had to go through when they pledged their lives, their honors, their sacred fortunes to break away from tyranny. And all what the left is doing, the Marxist left and the cancel culture, this is another form of tyranny. This is another form of, if you look at it, taxation without representation, because we're not represented with our views and we're being taxed, i.e. canceled, or which is the same thing as a tax, is it not? If your ability to earn an income is limited mm-hmm. because of the views you have, the thought police are everywhere, and I'm telling you, there is a silent majority, and it needs to not be silent anymore. Ronald Reagan cited it. Donald Trump has cited it. The silent majority needs to start to speak up, because we are in the majority in this country. We don't understand that.
Yeah. As you mentioned, we just aren't organized. Believe it or not, I probably said there was more time than we had. We've got less than 90 seconds now.
Okay, well,
so
then
tell everybody how they can find you, listen to you, and we'll have you on again when we have more time. No doubt about it.
Finally, with our last few seconds, I'm on 700 WLW. The terrestrial signal goes everywhere at night, but during the day, not so much. 700WLW.com and iHeartRadio under Gary Jeff Walker Podcast. And I wanted to take this auspicious moment, Karen, to come out to you. I am officially announcing that I'm a member of the LGBTQIA+ community. I know what the plus stands for, but what it stands for in my case is loony goy boy toy quivering in anticipation.
I love it. I got 30 seconds. That was a perfect way to end. We will definitely have you back. Gary Jeff Walker from WLW Radio.
I can't wait.
Listen to him. I can't wait either. You're the best. Take care.
Karen Cataline, we'll thank you so much for having me on the program.
Totally my pleasure. You are the best. So is Keith Hansen, and boy, oh boy, we got a lot of people that love liberty. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Gerard Lomero, an old friend. He has a lot to tell us. So stay tuned to Spouting Off and the Keith Hansen Show. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back to my home show. Home show is Spouting Off. And we are also simulcasting with the great Keith Hansen Show today. And so you'll want to tune in to the Keith Hansen Show every night. During prime time, it's powered by the Hagmann Report and the Global Star Radio Network. So I love when we collaborate with other shows, other networks, when we talk to other hosts and not just other guests. And I also love callers that call in as well. But I am delighted to welcome someone who has now become, I guess you could say, an old friend. Not old, but an old friend. It's, excuse me, no cough button, Gerard Francis Lamero. He is a doctor. He has a PhD. But he's also an author, a political analyst, and an expert on forecast models. We're going to find out about that, too. Dr. Lamero is the author of 6 books and is a popular TV and talk radio show guest. And boy, is he ever. That usually does up to 500 media interviews a year. Dr. Lamero has been called by media hosts America's number one political analyst and the Nostradamus of political elections. Welcome, Dr. Lamero, to Spouting Off.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Nobody's more optimistic. Nobody's been through, oh my God, you know, you're beating cancer. So these people that are whining about coronavirus that has a 0.2%. I mean, for those elderly people who get it, that's a terrible, terrible thing. But right. It isn't an excuse to shut down the country. Before we get into, I cannot wait to talk to you because you're one of my favorite optimists. Let's talk real quickly about your very latest book called Real World Socialism, Spiritual, Moral, and Economic Bankruptcy. Talk about this book, why you wrote it, and what people will find when they get a copy.
Well, I wrote it because I'm in the forecasting business. And about 16, 17 months ago, I think it was, that it came on my radar that the number one issue in 2020 in the election would be socialism versus freedom and capitalism, that there would be a great debate and the elections would pivot on it. And I decided that was important then to therefore educate people on what socialism is, because most people didn't have much notion of what socialism is. They sometimes think, oh, it means, you know, like having good welfare programs, or it means taking care of the poor. But they didn't really contemplate all that that hits them when they get socialism. So I went ahead and I decided, I went ahead and I did research on socialism, the origin of it, the origin of the philosophers, the origin of the first experiments, and various countries that have tried socialism. And what I found universally was they always fail. They fail both in theory and in practice. And the book is all about socialism. I think it's the number one book because I read all the others on socialism, and I thought, I'm going to write a better one.
And you know Go ahead. Sorry. I thought you were done. I am sorry. You know what bugs me, one of my many pet peeves, and I have many, it's that when people say socialism doesn't work, that's just beside the point. Socialism is evil because it requires force to happen. You have to force people into it because not everybody's going to agree. And so force creates evil. Force creates tyranny. Force takes away people's individuality, their very soul, their very personality. And in many cases, it has led to genocide. So when people say it doesn't work, I think that that just way, 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 way underestimates it. It's not just another alternative system. It's a system of tyranny and force.
You're right, and that's correct. And in the book, I cover the 100 million people that were killed during the 20th century from socialism, and they continue to get killed to this day. Some of the, in fact, the two greatest famines in world history were caused under socialism, where millions and millions, literally, of people were killed in order to satisfy some elite dictators that thought it was better for their country to do one thing or another, but they destroyed their populations and the food supply in the process.
Socialism doesn't work because,
and I say that because that's what they propose, and they're always saying it's going to do everything. You know, you're going to give everybody all the food they want, you're going to give them all the medical care they want, you're going to give them free cell phones, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And if you tax people at higher rates, which they normally do, you can tax everyone at 100%, and we'll run out of cash in about 9 months. We won't have enough money to live past then, and the country will be in bankruptcy.
Right. And unfortunately, let's just move right into the fact that I don't know about you. You're a prognosticator. You're a forecaster. I'm going to ask you a tough question because sure. I've always been a bit of a skeptic about people who think they can tell the future. But in your case, you do it scientifically with models. So, you know, I definitely have a lot more respect for what you do. Besides, you are one of the few people in the whole country who predicted that Donald Trump would win. So we're happy to let people know that. But since about St. Patrick's Day, we've been watching something that many of us thought we'd see, but not in our lifetime. And that is an orchestrated attack on America from within. Things that we never dreamed. There are still people in this country who think that this coronavirus is a totally separate issue than, say, the riots or the lockdowns or any of a number of things. And when you put it all together, none of it makes sense until you realize that these are all pieces of a puzzle of attacking this country and literally trying to overthrow our system and turn it into a socialist/communist nightmare. Now, this is the key question, Dr. Gerard Lomero. Did you forecast that?
Well, part of it, yes. And by the way, when you mentioned about Donald Trump, I predicted his victory. I want to make a very distinct, subtle point, and that is I predicted every state he carried correctly. So I not only predicted the outcome, I predicted it by state because my predictions are by state. It's an electoral college victory you have to get to become president. And every state he carried, I predicted accurately, including the tough ones like Florida, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. That's something even tougher to do than just pick
the
winner. So I just want to mention that.
Now, so I can't wait to hear your projections after this. We'll do that after the break.
Well,
so tell us about this.
February or so, I made a COVID model, and I found my model indicated that the famous models, the one like in Imperial College in Great Britain and the one over in the West Coast that so many people use, that's funded by Bill Gates, by the way. He's a donor. And those models were way off. And I thought my model was much more accurate. And by the way, mine predicted the peak right around Easter, which happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got the wild numbers that they predicted. We didn't get 2 million deaths or even 200,000 deaths. And even now, with the numbers we're getting, we're finding out every day that they're not accurate. Because, for example, this week in San Antonio, they had to lower the numbers by 3,600 cases because they found out that they were counting cases that they thought had COVID,
mm-hmm.
but had never been tested.
Gee.
Never been tested.
You think, Dr. Lomero, that there might be a vested interest in scaring people to death about coronavirus? Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that.
No, there's a political reason. There's also a financial reason.
Yes.
If a hospital says somebody's died from COVID, they get a larger chunk of money from Medicare than if they died from, say, pneumonia or something
mm-hmm.
else. So it behooves them to count it as COVID because they're going to get a greater payment from the government.
Incentives work. Incentives work. Just like there was an incentive for people not to go to work, they were paid to stay home.
Right.
Gee, I wonder why they would do that. Financial incentives work, but then you got to ask, why is there a financial incentive for coronavirus? Why? Because they needed to keep their numbers up in order to justify this complete wholesale power grab on the American people. Or am I jumping ahead here?
No, I think you're totally right. I'm agreeing.
Yeah. So, Did you also predict that Democrats would use this virus that you had the correct models on in order to clamp down on people's most fundamental liberties, the right to free assembly, the right to free speech, the right to freedom of movement, freedom of travel, and on, freedom of religion, for heaven's sake? Did you predict that they'd be going for broke right now and burning cities? I mean, I don't know how anybody could do that, but did you see this coming?
Certainly the city part, the anarchy and that. one of the things that I saw coming, which it did take place and is taking place, was the fact that black Americans were swinging toward supporting Trump in the election. If you go back to 2008, John McCain was only able to get 4% of the black vote in that election. If you fast forward to 2016, Donald Trump got 8%. He got double. And that was enough to put him over, believe it or not. That helped to make him president, getting 8% of the black vote. Coming up to this point, before we had the rioting and that, Trump was getting, depending on which source you use, which model, 35 to 40% of the black vote were going to vote for Donald Trump. So we knew right away that the Democrats would try to exploit racism. That's their card they always use, so it's not very profound to predict that, because that's something they use frequently, that they would use that. Now, I didn't know specifically which cities were going to get hit or how they would do it, but they did. They tried to make racism, saying we have systemic racism, terrible. He's the head of the Ku Klux Klan, or, you know, all the things, white supremacists. Every racial name they could throw at him, they did, to make it like he's this terrible racist guy, because they're trying to turn off the black vote. Because the black vote, if they come out, my model says he'll get 42% of their vote right now. If he gets 42% right now, they're in deep trouble. And, of course, they are in deep trouble. But you'll never know it from the polls, because the polls, I think, are no longer accurate. I don't know if they do it on purpose. They certainly might. Or if they're just being sloppy scientifically. But when you study the polls, as I have, anytime the internals are available, I study them, and that you can see just fraught with issues, fraught with problems, and there's no accuracy at all in those numbers now that show Biden ahead.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. And we've got time with you. We've got about a minute or two before the break, which I don't understand. My clock says 41 after the hour, but I listen to my producer. When he tells me I got 2 minutes, I got 2 minutes. Let's see. I'll have to ask when we get back. But it's interesting that the left, that's constantly suppressing and bullying people into not telling the truth to pollsters, then suddenly use the polls as a means to try to bully them some more. Well, he's losing. But we saw this in 2016, that people were afraid to say who they'd really vote for, because it's bullying and intimidation, which is what they specialize in. You want to comment on that a little bit? We've got about 30 seconds.
Well, it turns out there's about 10 different issues with the polls. And by the way, because so many people asked me that question in years past, I wrote a book, 2018, about More Great News for America. It starts out talking about why are polls so wrong, so frequently way out. There are a lot of different problems. For one, a poll is based on usually 1,000 phone calls or more, made supposedly randomly, and that can sometimes be an issue. And what they do is they superimpose those 1,000 votes onto their model of the country.
Right. That's crazy. I hate to tell you, I got to take a break, Dr. Lamero.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. And we'll finish with the polls. But then we're going to find out from Dr. Lamero who he thinks is going to win the 2020 presidential campaign. The guy in the White House or the guy in the basement? Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off and the Keith Hansen Show, all in one great show. We're going to take a break. We got a lot more to come, so stay tuned.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. We are also simulcasting this program with The Keith Hansen Show, which is powered by, I've got to say this before it's important, with Keith, powered by the Hagman Report and the Global Star Radio Network. What a pleasure it is to collaborate sometimes with fellow talk show hosts when they need to do stuff. Keith is now on the gun range, exercising his Second Amendment rights while he allows me to exercise my First Amendment rights. We are talking to Dr. Gerard Lamero, my favorite optimist and modeler. We didn't even know what models were until we started hearing about coronavirus. And no matter how bad and wrong they were, they just kept shutting us down. Before the break, we were talking to Dr. Lamero about polls and how they get. Why are polls so wrong? Why were they so wrong in 2016? And please, God, may they be wrong in 2020.
Well, there's actually a lot of reasons. I was going to point out what a poll is. It's usually about 1,000 phone calls made at random. And from those 1,000 votes, if you will, or results that they get, statistics, they superimpose that on a model of the country. One of the issues in the 2016 election was they were using models that appeared to have first been used in 2008. And let's face it, the demographics of the country and the identity politics that they used to use doesn't quite work the same these days. So The underlying model is a big issue. But there are a lot of other issues, too. For example, we know that many people are so mad and turned off by the mainstream media that if you call and say, I'm from NBC News and I'm doing a poll, then they will either hang up or sometimes what they do is they give you the wrong answer.
They lie.
Yeah. Yes. They want to put egg on your face. They want you to have the wrong answer.
Well, that's a good example of civil disobedience. I like that a lot. I'm up for more of that. So let's jump right to the chase here, Dr. Lamero. I believe that if the elections were fair, even remotely fair, Trump would win in a landslide. That's my particular bias, and I'm not a scientist or a modeler. But what worries me is the cheating in elections. I mean, they tried to make all mail-in ballots, which thank God we won't have this time around, but anything they can do to increase fraud, they seem to want to do it. My God, if they're willing to overthrow the country, I think they're willing to do it by force and by cheating, as only stands to reason. And I'm pretty sure that you told me off the air that you're not worried that Trump gets a second term. Tell us why you think that. Help us all feel better, because frankly, Dr. Lamero, I have said openly and honestly that God forbid if he does not get another term, I feel like this country is over.
I think it would be, and I also think we'd be bankrupt within 12 months.
Yeah.
Of them taking over. But
it's that
I don't
important.
Think that's going to happen. And the reason is the anger is high among a lot of people. The voter intensity for Trump is rather high, very high. It's very low for Joe Biden. And there's other reasons, too. One is Donald Trump has put in place a voter fraud, if you will, set of protocols to avoid it, to expose it, to bring it to court. And I think he knows very well what the Democrats are up to, and he's already thought of it. He's got lawyers in place. I decided to try what they were doing out, and I signed up for one of their election judge classes. So I got trained by the Trump administration to see how they did it. And
you are so interesting. You're so creative, Dr. L.
They're actually, they have a program in place for election judges and poll watchers, and they know what to look for. They know how to deal with it, and they know how to legally pounce on it. So I think that is going to help him quite a bit. It's also going to prevent a lot of fraud, expose a lot of fraud. The other thing, which you can't in any way discount, is the fact I believe now it's going to be a historic election in terms of turnout. There are a lot of people who are voting who never voted before who say, this is my country now. I've got to vote or else I'm going to lose it. I don't want to lose my freedom. I don't want my cities burning down. I want to be able to pick up the phone and call the police if somebody commits a crime against me.
And gee, what a radical thing. You actually want police in your town.
Well,
nowadays,
a lot of people
that's
do.
Considered radical.
And a lot of minorities do, by the way. It's not just,
I know.
Not just you know, pristine
they
suburbs.
Need them. They need them. Otherwise, the gangs take over.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, you put all that together. And, by the way, I do a model for voter fraud, too, because that's part of the real world. You got to model everything in the real world.
Yeah.
And so I do all that, and out pops the answer. And right now, Trump has 348 electoral votes in my model, and Joe Biden has 190, which isn't even close.
Oh. You know, I haven't felt good for a long time, Dr. L, about what's going on in the country. What we're watching is terrifying. But, gosh, can I call you every day and boost my on or off the air? Just, I'm feeling distressed, you know. Here's the thing. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know if you caught Tucker Carlson recently, yesterday, I guess it was. Tucker Carlson is about the only reason that I even have Fox News anymore, to tell you the truth.
He's good.
And
he's
very good. He's been great, and he's been on the money. He's very good, better than the previous host in that time slot, I must say. And Tucker said something that a lot of us worry about. He's not afraid to say what worries us on both sides of the aisle, and that is that when things are falling apart, people think they need a change, and many of them are too ignorant, I'm sorry to say, to recognize that Democrats are making things terrible so they can point to them and say, see, it's Donald Trump's fault. I mean, you'd think it was never more obvious than now that only in Democrat states are there this unrest, this, you know, Democrats and Democrat governors and Democrat unelected bureaucrats are imposing this tyranny upon us, this chaos, this insanity. And yet, not long from now, they're going to say, see, the country is falling apart. That's why you need Joe Biden. So tell us why, Tucker, we don't have to worry about that.
Well, that is a valid point. The answer to that is you got to have constant reinforcement of the true message. And I think Donald Trump plans to do that. He's going to have a vigorous campaign. I disagreed with closing down the Jacksonville convention. I wouldn't shut down anything at this point because he needs all of it. But they'll do other things, and they are doing things. Right now, the Trump campaign is talking to 1.5 million voters every day.
Wow. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Time goes so quickly. Can you tell everybody how they can find you real quickly? Because I got to wrap up the show and I got a couple of final comments. So go ahead.
Sure.
Dr. Gerard Lamero, how can people find you, follow you, and read you?
Yeah, they can read my weekly column and that. GreatNewsForAmerica.com. That's my website. GreatNewsForAmerica.com. There's over 200 pages on my website. So you got plenty of things to read. And, of course, I have 6 books on Amazon that are in print and also on Kindle.
Well, that is great. And I'm proud to call you a friend. We've We've broken bread together, or barbecue, as it were. And you're an amazing person on and off the air. So thank you so much, Dr. Gerard Lamero. Godspeed. And boy, I'm going to call you more often and say, please tell me it's going to be okay, because I'm worried.
Well, I can understand why you're worried, but I would say you don't have to worry, because we have great news for America coming.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Plus, we can pray, and we need to do that, too. Pray for America.
Absolutely.
Pray for Donald Trump. You take care, doctor, and we'll be talking soon.
Okay.
Thank you. And that is almost all the time that we have. We have a couple of minutes. I wanted to just follow up a little bit on the beginning of my monologue when I was spouting off, and that is that masks are one way we can fight back right now. As I've been saying, it's a little crass, but one of my memes is, if you roll over now, you'll be bending over later. So don't wait until your voice is taken away and you can't speak anymore. So if you're interested, do a flash mob in Walmart. You know, go into Walmart with your mask, if it's lace. You know, I'm not into the masks at all. Get your friends together and, you know, take off the mask and sing the national anthem and then walk out. I think if we saw that all around the country, we could maybe grab the narrative. There are a lot of people thinking and working on that to have that happen. And that's just one thing. It's very nonviolent, but it absolutely is an act of nonviolent resistance. We can't comply with a lie. We can't comply with people who are telling us to do ridiculous things in order to tell us to shut up and sit down and behave. No, they need to behave. They work for us. That is all the time we have for Spouting Off and the Keith Hansen Show. Don't forget to tune in to Keith Hansen every day and to Spouting Off every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Mountain Time, that's what it is. And you can visit me at my website, KarenCataline.com, Facebook, Twitter. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio that produces Spouting Off. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be oh so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.